Hi, so do I have permission to record you today?
You do.
So hi, everyone. My name is Darren Jaffe, and I'm a third-year PT student at Temple University in Philadelphia and a student rep on the American Council of Academic Physical Therapy Student Leadership Development Committee. Today, we have the pleasure of interviewing Carrie Cunningham, Clinical Manager of Sports Medicine, and she also works for the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta and also a part of APTA Nominating Committee member. So this interview is a part of a series that is aimed specifically at PT and PTA students and new graduates nationwide to help provide guidance and insight into the job market as it rapidly changed due to COVID-19. Interviews are being conducted with many different practitioners and experts and span across different practice settings. Please note, individuals that are being interviewed are expressing views and opinions that are of their own and do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of the companies that they work for. Recordings and contact information will be made available following the completion of the interview. So Carrie, thank you so much for joining us today. Can you start just by telling a little bit about yourself and about the company that you work for?
Sure. I'm Carrie. Originally from Illinois, currently live outside of Atlanta, Georgia. I graduated from St. Louis University in 1995. And I've enjoyed a wonderful career and I'm currently working at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. It's a great place to work, always on the highly ranked in Working Women's Magazine, I believe. Great place to work, great benefits, awesome team, and I'm married and I have three dogs.
Awesome, thank you. So yeah, let's just jump right into the questions then. So first question, what are some of your perceptions and thoughts on the current job market as it relates to students and new grads across the nation and in your practice setting specifically?
Sure. Well, so, you know, I think it's definitely something that is something we've never experienced before. You know, we're seeing healthcare become tighter and tighter, I think, every day. And hitting, you know, some historic markers, and not in a good way. So, yeah. You know, I graduated, like I said, in 1995, and in 1998, 1999, they passed the Balanced Budget Act, and that was pretty devastating to me, and I'm sure there's many other therapists, you know, potentially who are older than I am that lived through it, you know, other things that impacted our profession. So, and I'm still here. So I think there's definitely hope for us. But the current job market is definitely tight. I think that, you know, people, you know, would behoove them to make sure that they're brushing up on their skills, really practicing, really understanding, the place that they're going to be interviewing at, what their strengths and weaknesses are, and then how you can fit into that company or that organization or that private practice or that different setting. Like, what strengths and weaknesses do you, know your weaknesses, but, you know, be able to speak to what strengths you have that are able to benefit that company.
Nice. Yeah, and you kind of jumped into my second question here. So what advice would you give to students who are preparing for the interviews as a new grad? And do you have any specific tips or tricks to consider during the interviews that might be different if they're virtual, during this pandemic?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so several things. You know, understand and know what the companies are looking for, if you can. So, and use this time wisely to help brush up on skill sets that you think you can help bring to a new company. So telemedicine, for instance, if you know that you have provided some medicine visits and you know that that's a strength of yours, you know, definitely that is something that companies are having to just kind of jump into feet first. Hey, all of a sudden now we're all doing telemedicine. So if that's the strength, you know the documentation, know the billing, know, understand all of the regulations around telemedicine. You've done the visit before, you're comfortable with technology. be able to communicate that that is your strength, that you're able to bring that to the company. In addition, obviously I'm a huge APTA advocate, so I'm definitely biased. But APTA and all of the sections, there's definitely a few that I know more about, but I think that all of the sections have done a really great job at showing their value in their membership by providing a ton of resources for us during this time. So if it's you want to provide a niche market to a company, so say they don't provide pelvic health, and that's something that you're very interested in, and you can communicate and show a company value and how you can provide that to them, and you have gone out and taken some extra classes or, you know, have started a law certification path because that's a value that you want to do and that you want to bring to that company. Those are great things. Leadership skills, communication skills. You know, when you're preparing for an interview, definitely make sure that you understand and know your own strengths and weaknesses and the company's strengths and weaknesses, and be able to speak to maybe how you can kind of help fill the gaps for them. So I always tell everybody it's sort of like dating. This is your first date. So you definitely want to make sure you make a good impression. Understand that, you know, it's definitely going to be a tight job market. So you're going to be competing against, you know, a lot of really other great interviewees, and you want to make sure you can stand out. And I think also, you know, this might be a time where, you know, you're looking for that ideal setting, and you may have to think about, this isn't going to be something that I have to, you know, do forever. But if you're competing in a tight job market, you might not do the thing that you're going to love for the rest of your life. But speaking from experiences, I've probably worked in just about every setting that there is in PT, and it's actually been a real benefit to me later on in my life. Now I think it's given me definitely a bigger, broader perspective, helped me be a better leader, manager, therapist, to help understand all of those different perspectives and avenues of our profession. So it's not necessarily a negative that you're not getting your top choice. And I also think that it's important to think about a good fit for a company versus, so maybe it's skilled nursing and you really had your heart set on outpatient orthopedics, but you really love the people that you interviewed with and might be working with at SNF, and maybe you're just not sure about that for the outpatient orthopedics, maybe go ahead and sometimes it's worth working somewhere in a setting that you might not think you would love. You may end up loving it, but the people you work with, it's also really important as well. So that's a lot of advice.
Yeah,
so.
Some really great I'll stuff stop right there. Yeah. And like you said before, being a part of the APTA, I mean, even the listeners right now are, you know, members and part of the assembly. So that's where they get the information, which is so great. So just to kind of circle back and kind of go off script here a little bit from one of the questions, you said to kind of fill in the gaps of the clinics for new grads that are interviewing. How do you think we should really find those gaps, or what clinics are really needing right now? How do we do some of that research?
Do some recon. So I think it's perfectly, you know, some of it might be you ask that question in the interview. And just be prepared with what your strengths and weaknesses are, and maybe kind of, you know, understand in outpatient orthopedics what their strengths and weaknesses might be. You can ask your friends who've been students. If you've been a student there, ask the other therapists that you work with. If this is a place that you really want to work, you know, ask them, how do you see me filling the gaps? What are some things that you think I could bring, you know, to this job? And then, you know, work really hard to improve on those things, and then highlight those things in the interview. And remember that your clinicals are essentially an extended job interview. So you want to always be thinking about that as you're doing your clinicals. Because they'll understand if you've gone the extra mile. Oh, I read up on that last night. I had a question about that. So I read up, and here's what I, you know, here's what I found. You know, can you help me with, you know, what your thoughts are? Here's what I would do. And that's really impressive to clinical instructors and to staff and to, you know, leaders when you're at your clinicals, you know, understanding that, wow, they're really putting in the extra effort. So it's that you can do cold calling. You can say, hey, I'm really interested in, and I think that shows a lot of initiative. You know, if you call and you say, hey, I'm really interested in working where, you know, at this hospital or at this SNF or at this, wherever it may be, this outpatient practice, and you're calling to say, hey, I'm really interested, what would it take for me to work there? You know, sometimes maybe people are like, I don't know if I had a job, but if this person's really that impressed, you know, tell me why you're so impressed with coming to work here. And then that can get the conversation started. So there's lots of different ways I think that you can get information to kind of help understand, like, what are some strengths? What are some weaknesses? Those are things that really interest me. And here's what I'm willing to do to try to accomplish that. And here's the value add that I can give you when I come work here.
Awesome. That's a really, really great point. And you kind of answered my next question about marketing your value, which I think is very, very great. But in terms of maybe negotiating salary and benefits at this time during an interview, what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, so I would be very cautious. I think it's really important that you understand the environment that we're in. You know, every time I turn around, there are furloughs and reductions in force, and it's hitting hospitals. You know, hospitals have typically been pretty recession-proof, and our profession has been fairly recession-proof, but that is just not the case for this pandemic. And so, you know, again, APTA is an incredible resource to understand, like, what are the asking salaries? What are, you know, starting salaries for new grads? There's a ton of resources out there for you to go in to look at what those may be, and, you know, utilize your resources like APTA and the sections and people that you know through your state chapters, your sections, national through APTA. Those are all really great resources. And I think that it's important to understand your value, but also understand the climate in which we're operating. You know, we're looking at Medicare cuts. We're looking at, you know, always payment issues. And so if you don't understand the market and you haven't done your research and, you know, there's an offer that's made and, or you ask for something way out of line with what the asking salary is or what an average is for the area you're going for, you know, I think that's going to say a lot about setting up an expectation, because I would assume that, you know, at what point, like, you may not ever be happy with what I'm going to offer you, because I may not be able to come even close to that. So, and you may not intentionally do that. You just may not be understanding what the market is. And so it's really important for you to do your homework and to do your research, and then also come up with, like, what are some things that you, if you want to negotiate, which I would be very careful about doing. But if you wanted to, what would be mutually beneficial? Like, you wanted 2 more weeks of vacation, maybe be able to ask for less pay for that, and understand what the value add is to the company. If it's because you want to do mission work and you want to, you know, promote the business when you're doing that, you know, you can find a way to make it mutually beneficial. And additionally, I might wait to negotiate that until I've been working there a year. I don't know that this is the environment where I would start off with negotiating things. I might be glad to have a job, because I think there's a lot of people who are facing not or having reduction in salary, and maybe it not coming back. So that might be a conversation that you wait to have after you've shown how valuable you are to the company, and be willing to sort of set that first year and put your head down and really work and show how valuable you are. So I think there's a couple of ways you can approach it. Sometimes if you get the feeling like this person is, you know, happy to talk about different solutions, then yes, understand what you want, understand what the value of that is to the company and to yourself. and then come up with something mutually beneficial and be okay with them saying no. Okay, that's great. You know what? I'm going to be super happy working here regardless. I just, you know, thought I'd ask.
Right. And I think it's just because that we're kind of used to the old, you know, what PTs make and the old model about what is the going rate and what we should be asking for. And I think it's great that we've been asking these same specific questions to everyone that we've been interviewing. And you definitely have a different opinion and perspective, which I think is very, very refreshing as well to think about.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I've often learned that, you know, sometimes it's really easy, especially when you're graduating, to get caught up in a salary, especially your first few years out. And I think what my experience and my lifetime has taught me is that sometimes $5,000 and $10,000 isn't all it's cracked up to be. I would much rather be, you know, where I want to be, working with people I want to be working with. And that means way more in the grand scheme of things when you break it down into how much is this per day or week or, you know, whatever that is. So, you know, there's opportunities for PRN jobs and things like that, I think, you know, maybe coming down the pike to help with supplementing things like that. So there's lots of, I think, opportunities. You know, it may not be now, but it may be in the future. So,
yeah. Yeah, and just making sure that obviously as new grads that we do get whatever we can and that we're not really kind of being taken advantage of, that everything's kind of very transparent. And then even if this is not the time to ask for it or maybe negotiate, that hopefully down the line, that is something we could ask for after kind of showing the clinic our value and you know, hopefully getting out of the hole.
Yeah, and I think sometimes it's a good strategy to wait. And not, you know, not negotiate. I think that there's, especially with, you know, your bigger institutions and things like that, they'll be pretty even. I think, you know, probably the smaller, you know, there's room for flexibility in some practice settings more than others. And so you want to be really careful and kind of understand who you're asking, when you're asking, and why you're asking. So just be really thoughtful about that conversation when you have it and kind of stand and know when you should and when you shouldn't.
Right. And one very last question is, how do you see the lasting effects of the pandemic on the profession as a whole? And how do you also see the current pandemic impacting your clinical operations in the future?
Well, yeah. I think it's probably everybody has said, you know, telemedicine. So,
yeah.
But I do think telemedicine is, you know, it's here to stay. I think that, you know, when we see information coming from CMS and from APTA and all of the different sources that, you know, telemedicine is definitely something that has come to us, whether people feel like that's a good or a bad thing. I think it's great. I think it's going to be a really helpful tool potentially if we're, you know, really truly moving towards a value-based system. I know that there are some systems who I think, you know, probably manage their patients a little differently and, you know, do some innovative care models where you can manage a patient whether in person or on the phone or, you know, over telemedicine. And I think there's some real value to that and maybe sort of a mixed model. I think it's probably a little unnerving for people who are, you know, super dependent on manual skills. You know, I think that, you know, going to a telemedicine sort of, you know, you have to figure out where does that role really fit into a telemedicine model. But I do think that there's a lot of room for the mixed model and following our patients. It opens up access. So all of the rural areas that have limited to no access to physical therapy, it's a fantastic, you know, get Wi-Fi to them and make sure that they have the right bandwidth. I think that it's a fantastic tool for us to be able to use and improve access and expose more people to the benefits of physical therapy. So there's a lot of really good things that I think are going to, you know, impact us as a profession. And it's going to you know, really be something that a lot of people can use and help manage patients better. So I think that's probably the biggest thing. It's impacted our department a little bit. We are hospital based, so it's been a little bit more of a struggle with telemedicine from a hospital based perspective. We have always committed to, you know, doing what's best for the patient. So, you know, I think that when you always keep that in mind, you always end up okay. And so, you know, going forward in the future, I see, you know, using telemedicine, again, to be able to access specialists around the country, being able to expand reach, expand access. And I think that's a really good thing for patients. And that's our first priority. So I think that'll be a really good thing for us in the future.
Awesome. Great answer. I think everything you said has been very thorough and just such a great different perspective too. So hopefully, yeah, you can join us on our Facebook Live event that we're having very, very soon once we publish all the interviews. But on behalf of the ACAP Student Leadership Development Committee, I would like to thank you for joining us today and providing such great information for our students and new graduates. Thank you and have a great day.